The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Okay, so I'd like to build on this idea of what is our intention of why we're meditating. But first, I want to just recognize that sometimes there can be a way in which we feel stuck. Or like that we're maybe swirling around, but not really going anywhere with our meditation practice or our spiritual practice. There can be a way in which maybe we are dutifully, quote unquote, meditating or listening to Dharma talks, but it feels kind of flat, or there's a quality of spinning, maybe like not going anywhere. Maybe there's this way that we feel kind of like stifled, or there is not any vitality. It's just kind of the juice has got sucked out of our practice in some kind of way. And this is not so uncommon. It's happens in practice. But there's a way in which when we feel like we're maybe going in circles, we can, and instead what often is happening is instead of being with our experience, the sensations, then we're just having an inner debate often, or we're having thoughts about thoughts that are having thoughts about other thoughts, which are thoughtful thoughts about thoughts. And we're just kind of like lost in this spin, and we're not really connected with our experience. So the way forward is about the experience. But this vacillation or this hesitation of not connecting with experience or with not being with what is, but instead being lost in thought is, I mean, even at the time of the Buddha, he recognized this too. He called it vichikicca, often translated as skeptical doubt, which for me doesn't feel like quite the right word, skeptical doubt, because doubt brings up more about, you know, just thinking and more thinking. But it's a way in which we have reservations, or maybe indecisive, or we have hesitation, or maybe we have like suspicion. And so we just find ourselves kind of spinning. And maybe we're not even clear that we have hesitation. Maybe we're not even clear that we have this reservations and that in some way we're a little bit held back. We just notice this sense of kind of being stuck. Or maybe there's a sense of spinning somehow. So I sometimes call this swirling doubt, just because it can feel like this. If we were to actually feel into it, most often it's just the mind spinning and we aren't connected to the sensations. But there's this way in which this can get into the way of practice, get in the way of, you know, this moving forward, or maybe not even moving forward, just moving in some kind of way. So often when this swirling doubt shows up, I would give like investigation as an antidote, as a way to work with it, to ask questions. Okay, so what's actually happening here? But there's a way that if the mind is already spinning, this investigation can turn into analysis, which can turn into just more spinning. So sometimes it's not helpful. So instead, I'd like to offer some of these like four touchstones that are part of clear comprehension. Those of you who have been around in the Buddhist scene will be familiar with this. There's these four aspects of clear comprehension. And if you don't know this, perfectly fine. In the commentarial tradition, so it's not in the sutta tradition, talking about there's these four different ways in which we can be with experience. Or we can, I'm using this word touchstones, that we can like connect with our experience in four different ways that can help build a path forward instead of this kind of swirling around. So the first one is what I pointed to in the guided meditation is, what is the purpose or what is the aim of what I'm doing right now? What is the purpose? What is the aim of this meditation? And sometimes having some clarity around this can be helpful, because when we're meditating, maybe we're just like drifting along in thoughts, and that's just what we've been doing for quite some time. When I mean some time, it could be that duration, that meditation session duration, or it could be years too, where we're just sitting quietly, just drifting along in thoughts, ruminating or something like this, rather than actually being with our experience. So there's a way in which we're not really connected to what we're doing. So when we bring to mind why we're meditating, what's the intention, what's the purpose, it can be that that alone brings forth like a way forward. Like, oh yeah, I want to feel more calm. And then there can be a way, maybe we just calm the body. Like, oh yeah, I can calm the body. Or maybe there's a way, I want to find more freedom. And then that can remind us, okay, well, is there freedom in this moment? Can I be free with this moment, even though my knee hurts and the neighbor's dog is barking and I'm afraid I'm going to be late to work? Or can I just find freedom in this moment anyway? And so this can be a way forward that can show itself. So this can be a tremendous support for doubt. When we find ourselves swirling, just asking, what is the aim of what I'm doing? What is the purpose of what I'm doing? Why am I doing this? What's underneath it? Because there can be this way in which we are lost about our ideas about practice, what should be happening, what we should be doing. And we haven't actually let it touch our hearts in some kind of way. Because chances are that you're meditating because you have an aspiration. And often, not 100% of the time, but often that aspiration comes from our hearts. This wish for more freedom or more ease, or maybe the aspiration to be more kind, to show up in the world in a way that supports the life we want to live and supports other people's life they want to live. So that's the first touchstone, is just to ask, what is the purpose? What is the aim? Why am I doing this? The second that comes from clear comprehension is, we could say, what fits here? What is suitable here? So it could be something like, well, given my temperament, given the conditions right now, and given everything that's happening in this moment, what actually serves this aim or this purpose that I have, that my intention? So maybe an analogy but like this is that, say that you wanted to get some water. Say you wanted some water. It's probably not suitable. It probably doesn't fit. It probably doesn't serve to try to get water out of a stone. Right? It's better to use an aloe vera plant or, I don't know, I think maybe some cacti have water in them, or, oh, a coconut. You could like get a coconut or, you know, something like this. So what fits the purpose? What is, what's suitable? And if we'd like to be kinder, but we find, or we would like to have more love in our hearts or some more gentleness, but we find ourselves that we're just filled with this self-hatred or this self-inner critic, then that's not helpful. That's not supporting the aim or the purpose. So we need to find an appropriate approach. And for this example of, if we wanted to be more kinder, wanted to be kinder, and yet we find ourselves this inner critic really loud, an example is to just do one small act of kindness. And maybe the act of, if you're meditating, maybe an act of kindness is to maybe it's to say, well, you know, this meditation is really, I'm getting wrapped up in the inner critic. I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to bring some comfort into the body. And that can be a kindness for yourself, for your body. Or maybe you can notice how the irritation of the neighbor's dog barking or the neighbor's music being really loud. That can be a way in which, okay, I think I'm just this small kindness is I'm just going to drop the ill will, if you can, towards my neighbor who's making all this noise, for example. Or there might be a way in which we want to find some ease in our meditation. So we might think, okay, well, I'll just surf the internet and see what's on Netflix, and this will help me kind of like relax, and then I can meditate. And, you know, sometimes doing something like this can be restorative, but sometimes it's just avoidance and agitation, just agitating, or we're always searching, changing the channel or something. Like, I have to find something better that can, just the perfect escapism. And then, phew, you know, hours are gone while we're doing this. So the second touchstone, this suitability one, asks, is this serving the purpose that I have right now? Is this serving the aim that I have for my meditation practice or for what I want to be doing right now? For example, if we're feeling really agitated and we just feel like we don't want to meditate, maybe we do metta practice instead. Or maybe we go outside and hang out with some trees. Because there can be a way in which just being outside in a spacious way without a sense I have to hike so many miles or anything like that, but just to be outside, maybe that's a way that is more supportive, that allows some soothing of the nervous system and some calmness and some ease and spaciousness to find. So this touchstone is about choosing what is supportive for the intention we have, rather than just what satisfies our preferences. It's, you know, of course we want to do things that are pleasurable and whatever we feel like doing. But if we really want to, if we do have an aim, it can be helpful to be intentional about, well, what serves this? And then I also want to drop in that it can be helpful also to let go of any preoccupation of, well, what's the purpose of my life? And what's the purpose of humans and the planet and all of these types of things? And really bring it down to right here, what's next. I promise you, the purpose of your life will reveal yourself, will be revealed in when you're inhabiting your life, when you're actually here. It doesn't come from spinning in the mind. That's philosophy, and that's not what we're doing here. We're doing something about just being in our experience. And it'll, a sense of purpose arises or is known, gets experienced. So we could say, one way to ask this question about what's suitable is, what is this situation asking for? Instead of, what do I want to do? Like, what is this situation asking for? This could be one way we could do this second touchstone. So the third touchstone is about this idea of the field being like region or area or domain or pasture in the Buddha's teachings. The Pali word is gochara, and I just love this word. Go means cow, and chara is like walking. So where do the cows walk? So it's this idea of like pasture, right? This is where the cows hang out. Chara can also be like behavior or doing. So like, what is the pasture in which we want to graze in? What is the area or the domain? So we could ask, well, what nourishes us? And the Buddha teaches about these four foundations of mindfulness, the body, feeling tones, mind states, and dharmas. If you don't know that list, perfectly fine. If you do know that list, you'll maybe have some recognition here. But just being aware that there's different, we could use this expression, channels of experience. And at various times, one pasture, one domain will be more supportive than another. During the guided meditation earlier, I talked about breath or body or sounds. Like these could be different domains, like to do meditation in one way, which we're placing our attention in one direction that is supportive, nourishing. And at various times, maybe one pasture, one domain is more supportive, and another day, another one is. Maybe we have bodily pains in particular one day, or maybe there's a lot of sounds in our environment on a particular day, or maybe a day where there's a lot of spinning in the mind. So we can choose, okay, well, where should attention graze, if you will? Maybe I'm stretching this a little too much, but I just love this idea of like where the cows go, what they do. There's something, I don't know, it just feels so simple and lovely in my mind, at least. Maybe I should say I grew up in a place where there was a lot of cows grazing. So, so just recognizing at various times one posture will be more nourishing than another. And then pasture. And then, but it also could be posture too. But also just to recognize that this mental proliferation, this spinning, is generally not a place where we want to linger, where we want to hang out in. Spinning just leads to more spinning. Thoughts lead to thoughts lead to thoughts. I am not saying that we shouldn't think. Of course we need to think. Of course we need to solve problems and plan and this type of stuff. I'm just talking about like during our meditation practice, or so many of our thoughts, right, are repetitious and maybe not even so helpful. So it's recognizing that. So then the fourth touchstone is to see. And to see, we could say, see that it's just a thought. These are just thoughts. So much of our suffering comes from thoughts that we're having. Not to deny physical suffering, that happens too, of course. You having a human, this goes without saying. I see two people that have foot things happening, right? This is what it means to be a human. But it's often our thoughts about the physical discomfort that makes things a little bit more difficult. So non-delusion is of how this gets captured in the early Buddhist tradition. So we could say non-delusion is just to recognize the ephemeral, insubstantial, fleeting nature of thoughts. And yet, some thoughts we assign so much authority to. Like, oh, these thoughts are happening, and we just grab this one. Okay, this one's true. All the other ones, those can go, but this one's true. This one that says that I'm not doing enough, or I'm not enough, or those people over there are terrible, and these people over here, we're the good guys. Or there can be a way in which we just hang on to certain thoughts and think this is absolute the truth. But it's just a thought. You'll have other thoughts. You have had other thoughts. And so there's a way, can we hold our thoughts lightly? Recognize that they're helpful, they're supportive, but there's a way in which we can hold on to them that doesn't support us. And there's a way that we think about, often we define ourselves by the thoughts that we're having. And often those thoughts aren't very generous, or they're completely inaccurate, or we define other people just with thoughts. We don't even know them, but we make up all these thoughts about them. And, oh, there's so much suffering in the world because of this. people's thoughts about other people that they don't even know. So thoughts are phenomena that arise. You're not making them arise. You're not controlling them. We want you. We think that we can, but when you really look at it, we're not. So we're not controlling, you know, the content. If so, if that were the case, you would be having fantastic thoughts exclusively. So they're not like defining who you are. If they were, then you would be in control of them. So there's this way that being aware of our thoughts actually can be kind of fun. It can be amusing to see, like, oh my gosh, this again, this story, like, wow, it's fascinating how I just keep on bringing up this story or this memory or this rehashing of something or rehearsing something that we're going to do in the future. Because there's a way often we use thoughts to entertain ourselves, but this way, this fourth touch point can just to notice, like, oh yeah, these are thoughts. These are thoughts. And not get wrapped around the axle with them. This is not easy to do. Chances are we've spent our earlier life, our educational system, our professional life, whatever it might be, with being rewarded for our thoughts, thinking that the whole life is supposed to be about thoughts. But meditation practice is pointing to experience. And to be sure, thinking is part of experience. But so often we're just lost in thoughts, and our biases or some unkind thoughts that show up there, they end up affecting us in ways that aren't helpful. So there's this way in which we can apply these four touchstones: purpose or aim, suitability or fit, the domain or field or pasture where the cows hang out, or four, this non-delusion or seeing or thoughts, these four different touch points. When we feel like our meditation or maybe even something that's happening in our life, we're spinning and it's not, we feel kind of stuck. Choose any one of these four that feels available, that feels accessible. For, again, purpose or aim, suitability or fit, the domain or the field, or non-delusion, seeing. This is a way that the clear comprehension, sampajanya, can be a support for our meditation life and for our regular daily life. And when we find ourselves maybe with this doubt, this swirling doubt. So thank you for your attention. And now I'd like to invite you to get into small groups again. And this time to talk about which of these four touchstones feels like your most reliable doorway. I mean, right now, sitting here, that thinks I could be the most reliable doorway when the swirling starts. One, I'll say these again. Because if you're like me, you're like, what? A list of four? That's too long. So it could be one, purpose. Two, suitability. Three, the domain or field. Or four, non-delusion or seeing our thoughts. Which one of those feels like your most reliable doorway when you find yourself swirling or feeling stuck? And why? Why does that one of the four? Do I need to say the list again? Should I say it like 12 times? And you notice that I'm reading this every time I say it, even though I know this list somehow. Okay. So you can get into groups of three or four if you like. You can stay in the same groups or you can move. I'll let you decide that. And again, just be sensitive about everybody has a chance to speak. And we're not like trying to all, you know, have to think the exact same thing or change other people's minds or anything like that. And we'll come back in about 15 minutes. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have a few minutes here. Would anybody like to share what was that like, that discussion, either about the after the guided meditation or just now, about which one of these four touch points would be helpful if and when you find yourself spinning or swirling or something like this? There's one microphone there, and oh, and there's one. Nope.
I love the image of the pasture.
With the cows. I'm not the only one.
And I've lived around pastures and cows, and sometimes even rested in a pasture, just lying down in a warm, cozy spot and the larks singing up above.
Very nice.
So it was really helpful for me, because I have come with my head just full of spinning, just thinking, oh my goodness, this is not working. Thank goodness it's Thursday. And just the perspective of being with other people. But I also really realized that I want to really remember this image of going out to the pasture, because I want to feed on a different perspective than what I've pursued my life with. I'm a super proactive problem solver, researcher, and yet I have a problem now, and I'm going to make myself completely ill if I keep pursuing this problem-based thing on the prevailing attitudes of scarcity and competition and dog eat dog, and oh, you know, it's Silicon Valley and all this. I really want to go out into this pasture of wholeness, that the bottom line is that there's a deeper wholeness.
Very nice.
And that's where I need to spend a lot of time at the moment, and just go out to pasture. I just love it. So thank you for that.
You're
very
welcome.
Helpful image.
You're welcome. And it's tremendous to even realize that there can be an alternative than the prevailing culture, too. I mean, that's really helpful. Like, oh, no, just because everybody else is doing this now doesn't mean I need to be doing this. I can do something different. Or even just because I've been doing a lot of this in my life, certain pastor, so to speak, just to recognize, oh, yeah, actually, I can, something different is possible. It's beautiful. We don't always have those ideas, right? Sometimes we think like, oh, I'm stuck and this is just the way it is. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Susan. Oh, here we are already at the top of the hour. Well, yeah, I feel a little bit sorry not to be able to hear from more of you, but I kind of want to respect our time together. So thank you for your practice and for coming together and engaging with this. And may this practice that we do and sharing about it and engaging with it, may it be a support not only for us, but for the world, for everybody out there. So may it be a benefit for everyone. Thank you. And I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of the evening and safe travels home. Thank you. Good night.